are split and saints are called away. Most of all, I want to be among that number, the bride of Christ set apart in white array. Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praises when at last the battle's won. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear him say, well done. Everything down here will dim and lose its value when compared with all the glory we'll behold. But most of all, just to look upon the Savior will make it heaven if there were no streets of gold. Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praises when at last the battle. Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all,
for unsaved loved ones. I've really carried a burden this week, believing God to put the gifts of the Holy Ghost upon my life. The Bible says earnestly contend for the best gifts. Man, we had a Bible study Wednesday night that was so special. And it just ended in a moving of the Holy Ghost that just went through this building. I'm not kidding you. It was beautiful. It was powerful. And I just thank the Lord, because it like he put his approval upon the word as I cried out to you to earnestly contend for the best gifts. I don't know what gift you may want God to fill your life with, but I know the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost are to be resident in every spirit-filled believer, and they're to be manifest. Different gifts are given to different people according to their several ability and their surrender. But I'm praying for the gifts of healing. I'm praying for the working of miracles. And I'm praying for the gift of prophecy and for the gift of wisdom. It seems to me like those 4 are to go together. The ability to speak forth the truth, then the prayer of faith that brings miracles and healing, and all of that done with wisdom. Amen. Just kind of goes together. So you know somebody that's lost. Let's pray for them this morning before we go to the word. Father, we love you with everything that's in us. We're here to have church and worship you. We thank you for everything you've already done. Thank you for receiving communion. We count that life of your sacrifice to be our life right now. We receive that life in our very being from head to toe, that we might be full of you, Lord. Saturate it with your goodness and your life and your power and your anointing and your strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now open your Bible and turn with me this morning to the book of John, chapter 6. The book of St. John, chapter 6. I believe that we have a message this morning that could change someone's life. We welcome our visitors. God bless this family. And if I count it right, 4 little ones. And did that not look beautiful? A family coming in with their children. Hallelujah. And someone says to us, often do you not have nursery for the little ones? Why should children be shipped off into a side room and given a bunch of puppets and a bunch of stuff that has little to do with the old-fashioned gospel and not have the joy of feeling and knowing the presence of the Holy Ghost? How many believes a little child in mama's arm, as this little child in his mother's arm, can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit when he moves in a church? I believe that with all of my heart. In fact, I think they become acquainted with that in mother's womb when she's faithful in the house of God before they're born. And so the move of that, the mood of that gets a hold of them. That little fella in Sister Ginger, no, whose arm is he in? He responds to me when I'm preaching, and if you're sitting in front of him, folks, move over a little bit so he can see me, okay? Because he responds to my preaching. He's just a few months old, but he listens. Last Sunday morning, Wednesday night, when I got through preaching and went to him, buddy, he just smiled and come at me. I could tell he'd been listening. Amen. You say that I don't believe that. Well, you just don't know this old human being that we are, that God made us. Hey, we are God's creatures. Do you understand that? Go with me to the book of St. John, chapter 6, verse 32. Sorry. The book of St. John, chapter 6, verse 32. I'm sure Sister Yvette will be well and back with us tonight. We're praying for that and claiming that. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now I want to read verse 35 again. And I'm telling you, God is a great God. And when Jesus said this, he was saying more than just words, and you need to listen carefully, okay? And he said unto them, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, Father, help me break this bread of life this morning in such a manner as it will fill every soul with a freshness and a newness of life, and that they will know they've been in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Father, you said no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I believe you, by the Spirit of God in me, to proclaim Jesus as Lord this morning, that nobody will doubt that he is truly Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Now, listen, if you would, to the Word of God carefully this morning, because I believe this is very likely one of the most important sermons I might ever preach. Seven times in the book of John, Jesus said, I am. Seven times in the book of John, Jesus said, I am. As you know, I did a program Saturday a week ago on the idea that seven is God's numerical perfection. Seven is God's numerical perfection. Brother Kenny and Brother Marlon and others have been searching their Bible with me for days now, looking for the evidence of seven from one end of the scripture to the other. And we have documented. I have a list that Brother Kenny made for me of 800 and some times that the word seven is in the Bible, sometimes connected with 700 or 70 weeks or 70. 800 and some times. Now, It's overwhelming. From Genesis, when God created this earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, to the book of Revelation, when there will be seven sealed book, and then there will be seven seals and seven trumpets and seven vials. There'll be a 7-year marriage celebration for the bride of Christ. And we find from one end of that Bible to the other, seven is predominant. Seven is predominant, and it is God's perfect number. It is never used of the world. It is never used of the Antichrist. It is never used of the devil. It is never used of godless people. It is never used in an evil or a common way. It is always used having to do with God and the truth of God and the word of God and the things of God. And if you'll study your Bible and you'll start looking, you're going to find it everywhere. And many places where the number seven isn't even used, you'll have a picture. There is a picture in Proverbs of the seven things that God hates. There's a picture in Isaiah of the seven things that represent the Spirit of God upon the Lord Jesus. And here we have in this beautiful text, seven I ams. Seven I ams that are proclaimed in the book of John. Now the book of John is always called the book of his divinity. The book of his divinity. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, each carry a theme, and the theme that John carries is that of him being the Son of God eternally, that of him being divine beyond all question, that of him being absolutely the one who came from heaven and then went back to heaven and is the eternal one who lives, who dies, who died, who lives again. He's sovereign. He's everything. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. He really is the eternal Christ. He really is the eternal Christ. And so when you see in the book of John that he says, I am seven times, it just kind of gets a hold of you. And somebody may say, oh, you're making too much out of something. Well, let's then go beyond the seven and let's just deal with what he said. Now, remember, I am is the first name that God ever gave of himself. Throughout the book of Genesis, you never find the name of God. It was in Exodus when Moses had been out feeding and caring for his father-in-law's flock that he saw a burning bush. And as he approached the burning bush, he heard a voice and he found that God was appearing to him in the burning bush. And God talked to Moses and Moses gave himself to do the task that God was given Moses to do. But then finally, before it was concluded, Moses asked God something. Moses said, God, I'm going down to Egypt like you told me, and I'm going down there to lead the people out of captivity. But whom should I tell has sent me? I need to give them your name. I need to give them your name. And God spoke to Moses and said, you tell them that I am that I am has sent you. Listen to that. I am that I am has sent you. That is the first time in the Holy Bible that God ever gave his name. Abraham never heard the name of God. Isaac and Jacob or Joseph, as great of believers as they were, never knew the name of God. They just never knew it. They never heard it. It was here in Exodus when God spoke to Moses that God gave his name the first time. And he said, I am that I am. Now, think about it. Think about it. What does I am really mean? When you use this term, I am, when God used this term, I am, what was God saying about himself? I actually think that this is the greatest statement that Jesus could have ever made when he said, I am. I don't think nothing Jesus could have said that proved who he was more evidently than when he used these seven titles. I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the first and the last and the life. I am the vine. All seven of them was proclaiming who Jesus was. And it was expressing deeply and profoundly his divinity. I want you to understand that. It was declaring before those disciples and all that heard him, I'm not just another Jewish man that happened to have shown up here in Israel. I'm not just another rabbi. I'm not just another teacher. I'm not just another healer. I am that I am. Hallelujah. I am divine. I am eternal. I am sovereign. I am everything that God could be. Hallelujah. Oh, Rastamahaya. Oh, glory to God. I am everything that God could be. Oh, would you say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning, he is the great I am. This has got a hold of me, Brother Johnny, so intently and so deeply this week that every night I go to sleep reminding God Jesus that I know who he is. Hallelujah. And I repeated this until I think I got it right down into my being. Hallelujah. He is the I am. And I belong to the I am. And I'm certain. The I am, and I have nothing to be afraid of because the I am is in charge of my life. I have nothing to worry about because the I am holds my future. I have nothing to be troubled about because the I am deals with my enemies. I have nothing to doubt about because the I am takes care of my faith. Hallelujah. He's the I am that I am. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, man. I tell you, I've been praying all week. Oh, God, if ever I preach Jesus, let me preach him as I've never preached him before. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I'm just convinced that what this church world needs is to get off of these side issues and side thoughts and side thinking and get right to the meat of the word, right to the centrality of all of God's doings, and that's revealing Christ to the world, letting this world know he really is sovereign, he really is the Almighty, he really is the I am. Hallelujah. And when men begin to understand who he is, I'll guarantee you one thing, it'll change everything about their life. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to make sure you don't ever forget this. Would you help me? It is so important that you never forget it. For you to say I am would be blasphemy. Don't ever use that term of yourself. I am my own boss. I am what I want to be. I am in charge of my... No, friend. Not as a believer, you're not. He's the only I am in town. Hallelujah. He's the only I am in our life. He's the only I am in our experience. We are not in charge of anything. We are nothing of ourselves, but we are everything in Christ. Hallelujah. He is everything. Oh, hallelujah. What a savior. What a redeemer. So don't ever say I am. If you've ever said it, and I probably said it a lot of times, I repent. I won't say it again. I won't say it again. I was kidding with the guys yesterday. All these new lights. Isn't it beautiful? Do y'all see how beautiful these new lights are? Nothing but just new bulbs, all it is, in the old lights. And I didn't even know they were pretty. I found out they were beautiful when we got the right lights in them. Well, that's not all. But I said to them, you'll be able to tell that your pastor is good looking when he's in the pulpit. You'll see him. And they said, well, it may be the other way around. It may be we find all the freckles and all the, well, you know how that is. I was just kidding. Anyway, we are nothing. Do you understand that? We are nothing. We are nothing. He's everything. So don't ever say, I am, please, in the name of the Lord. And just remember, when he says I am, he really is I am. Hallelujah. He's not just saying something. He is I am. Now let's go to this text. I am the bread of life. Now, that's a powerful statement. I am the bread of life. Let me talk a little bit here. There are two things in which men live by. There is life in the flesh, and there is life in the spirit. All of life is divided right in that particular way. You're either living in the flesh or you're living in the spirit. The Bible says if you walk after the flesh, you shall die. But if you walk after the spirit, you shall live. That's in the book of Romans chapter 8. He says very clearly, anybody that lives after the flesh is going to die. Living after your flesh is a carnal thing, and it will lead you down the dark path. It will lead you in the wrong direction. So there's only two sources of life, and two ways to live your life, and two ways to feed yourself, and one is the natural, and one is the spiritual. So when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was saying, in the natural, you eat of the world. You digest the things of the world. You follow after the world. But in the spirit, I am the only source of spiritual life. There is no spiritual life in any other vein, in any other way. There's nowhere else to find it. Buddha don't have it. The Hindus don't have it. Allah doesn't have it. None of the gods of this world, they're all false. And the Bible said they're gods. Hit by demon spirits. There's only one true and living God who has a son whose name is Jesus, who sent a Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit might make this Jesus real in your life. I'm here to tell you, it's all wonderful. It's heavenly. It's marvelous. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. He is the source of spiritual life. Now, when I got to thinking about that, it really got a hold of me. You know, you can follow this world and claim to be a Christian. The world is full of people who claim Jesus, but they only have him up here. They only have him in their mind. They only have him in their thoughts. They only believe on him in a kind of casual, empty fashion. But we know that Jesus is more than a thought in your mind or a faith in your head. He is the life which takes hold of you and possesses you, and you become ate up with him. Hallelujah. And he gives life. He is saying that I am the source of life. I am the bread of life. Out of me, all spiritual life emits and comes forth from me. There's no spiritual life in any other source on the face of God's earth but of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you know? This Bible is a wonderful book. It's breathtaking. But if all you have are words, those words are empty until you get a hold of the source of those words. Until the bread of life takes hold of you. And when you get past just written words and get a hold of the living word, that's where life is. That's where satisfaction is. That's where the completeness of life is. So it really got a hold of me how much of this world is feeding on things that are nothing but of the flesh. You know we all enjoy eating, don't we? How many of you enjoy a good meal? It ain't wrong to enjoy a good meal. Slip your hand up. I'm not trying to criticize you. I'm not trying to put you down. There's nothing wrong in having a good steak. I cooked one last night. Those ladies in my house wouldn't have let me by. They had it waiting on me, and I didn't have much choice. You know, and I love it. I love a good barbecue chicken. Nobody can cook a chicken better than Brother Chambers. And I don't mean that bragging. I just know my barbecue chicken is the best I've ever found. Well, there's some things that my daddy taught me. I don't know how I learned them. Things that I don't know. Let me tell you what. Now, this is not meaningful. I believe it is. When I cook a chicken, when I barbecue a chicken, I cover it with salt before I put it on the grill. Now, do you know, you should understand this, because we are the salt of the earth. You understand? How many of you know you're the salt of the earth? You're the salt of the earth. Well, I cover it with salt. Well, you know what it does? It immediately draws that skin all over that chicken, just like this. Either side, wherever, it just shuts up every pore of that chicken. So that chicken lays on the grill for 2 hours and cooks in its own fluids, cooks in his own flavor, cooks in his own juices. And it cooks in its own juices. You look at my grill when I'm cooking chicken, and the grease is not running off the chicken down in the fire. It's in the chicken, and it's cooking away. And when that grease gets through cooking that chicken, it's as tender. Don't come up to no grill where I'm cooking a chicken and start poking forks and things in those chickens. Keep your hands off of them. They're cooking the way they're supposed to cook, in their own flavor, in their own fluids, in their own grease, and that makes them tender. Well, see, the whole process there is, it has biblical relevance. Hallelujah. When you get full of Christ, when the salt of heaven covers you like a garment and closes up your life to this old world, and you don't want this world then. I mean, if you want the world, you got a problem that you need to solve at God's altar. If you happen to try your best to hold the world out of your life, you got a problem that you need to solve right down here where the blood of Jesus is mightily at work. He'll wash you so pure and so clean of that old man that you'll find the meal of the word from Christ is satisfying. Hallelujah. And he'll be locked up in your heart. Oh, glory to God. And you'll praise him and love him and magnify him. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So you're either eating from the world or you're eating from Christ. When I say eating, I'm talking about receiving nutrients, receiving substance, receiving that which satisfies. Hallelujah. And if you're satisfying your flesh, and that's the way you live your life, you need to understand, if you follow after the flesh, you shall die. I promise you, the Bible makes it plain. But you begin to follow after Christ. You get Christ in you until he rules your very life. And I'm here to tell you something is going to happen and take place in you that you'll never forget. Hallelujah. How this life is wonderful. How many enjoy being a Christian? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. If you enjoy being a Christian, it's because you're living in this life which Christ has put in there. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I feel fat and flourishing this morning in the life of Jesus Christ. The Bible even speaks of people who enjoy the Lord being fat and flourishing. And I'm talking fat in the Lord, fat in the sweet work of the Holy Ghost, fat in the graces of God through Christ our blessed Lord. Oh, church, of what are you living your life? Of what substance are you satisfying yourself daily? Where do you get your satisfaction from? Where do you get your joy from? When you're going about the week and you got jobs to do, you got a work to perform, you got a living to make, you got a yard to keep clean, you got dishes to wash. Now, what do you do in all of that? You live by the word of God. That's what. You sing. The Bible says singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. You can do that all day long and you'll find more joy than you can imagine comes rushing in upon you. And the more of Jesus you get, the more joy you're going to have. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now let me take you to a scripture that's so powerful in the book of Galatians 2 and 20. The book of Galatians 2 and 20. I thoroughly love this great scripture. I've used it many times through my life, but probably not enough. Galatians 2 and 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Anybody can hear that? Amen. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Listen, but nevertheless, though you're crucified, which means you're dead with Christ, nevertheless, I live. You see, there's life in death when it comes to the Christian walk. The whole life of the faith is in the death of the flesh. The whole life of a spiritual person is in the death of their flesh. The whole life, the whole joy, the satisfaction of a Christian is in their death. It is when they are dead with Christ. Not physically, but physical in a sense. The flesh, the world, the desires that the old carnal nature has awakened in us. The desires the old carnal man rallies to have and badges you to get. You got to put all of that to death. Oh, I'm not talking about ceasing to live. I'm talking about starting to live. Hallelujah. When you're crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. Come on, say that with me, will you? I'm crucified with Christ. Say it, would you? Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And now the life which I live is by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. He really is the bread of life. You got to hear that. He really is the bread of life. He really is the bread of your spiritual life. He is the bread of your spiritual life. I want you to get that until you can never forget it. He is the bread of your spiritual life. He is the bread of your spiritual life. If you're not enjoying him daily and hour by hour and week by week and day by day, you are cheating yourself. You are keeping yourself from a peaceable, happy. Oh, great. I remember when I first was saved, the church was full of people who'd been sanctified, who'd given up the world and had been cleansed from the world. They'd stayed at an altar until the Holy Ghost had come, and they were full of the Spirit of God, and they were shouters, and they were praising, and they was magnifying the Lord. I'll never forget, as a young Christian, I just got saved, and I joined the choir, much to their despairing. They tried to beg me stay out of the choir. Back then, everybody went to the choir who wanted to, you know. And I just went to the choir, and I couldn't sing, but I sure had a song in my heart. I'd been to Calvary. I'd been raised by an alcoholic. I'd been raised to lie and cuss and sweet and steal. My mom and daddy didn't teach me that, but those people around me did. And I mean, when I found Jesus, I found something like I never knew existed. Hallelujah. I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian until I was wonderfully saved. And I was so satisfied and happy and full of joy. And one night I was coming down from the choir, and this kind of heavy lady come running across the front of the church under the Spirit of the Lord, and she was shouting and praising God, and I got out of her way. I mean, I ran for my life. See, I was new. I didn't understand this. I didn't know what was going on, except it felt good. Hallelujah. And they laughed at me. I don't know how long I got laughed at, because I ran from the shouter. Well, I don't run from the shouters no more. I just shout with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody love him? Anybody love him? Oh, what a joy it is. I am crucified with Christ. Can you say it? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive. Hallelujah. Like I've never been in all my days. But I'm not living by the flesh. I'm not living by the old man. I'm living by this new life that floods me from my head to my toes. Hallelujah. Now, you can have this bread of life. If you're sitting out there wondering why we're so happy, you can have this bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. And he said, whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise turn away or cast out. Did you know that? You come to him for his bread, and he'll feed you. You come to him regular for his bread, and he'll feed you. You find a place to pray, and he'll feed you. So you remember, I am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say something that I don't want to anybody to misunderstand me. What everything the Holy Ghost does is wonderful. I love it when somebody is so full of the Holy Ghost that they become a shouter. They just love to praise him. Throw their hands up, run down the aisle. I'm not worried about none of that. I love it all. I love the house of God being full of a shout. Hey, I believe the house of God ought to be full of a shout. I said, I believe the house of God ought to be full of a shout. Are you listening to me? I believe the house of God ought to be full of praise and hallelujah and glory. Hallelujah. Remember the Holy Ghost saying, if we'd fill this house full of praise, he'd fill it full of people. But we sure haven't been filled full of praise. Heart would already be full of people. Do you hear me? Somebody jump up and shout hallelujah, would you? Somebody that's got it in your heart. Anybody? You love him? You really got a praise? That's right, Brother Gal. Look at there, Brother Galloway. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, it's a joy to be full of this. It's a joy to be. I don't want anything now. I said, I don't want anything. It's in my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout with me and praise him. Oh, you understand what I'm preaching, okay? Anybody understand what I'm preaching? Let me tell you something. Listen to me now. You can be seated. Listen to me now. Listen to me carefully. The Holy Ghost didn't come just to give you a shout. The Holy Ghost didn't come just to put a spring in your heel and a hallelujah in your voices. The Holy Ghost came to make Jesus real in you. The Holy Ghost came to fill you so full of Jesus that he becomes evident in everything you say and everything you do. You don't believe it? Then you go to John 16 with me. Go to John 16 with me. Let's read it together. Let's read it together. John 16. Let's go, if we might, to verse 13. How be it? Now listen. This is Jesus talking. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Where have those preachers been who cannot preach the pre-trib rapture and enjoy preaching some of those prophetic messages that the Bible is so full of? That's what he said. He said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. You see, the Holy Ghost has got one ear in heaven, and his lips or his voice is down here on earth with us. His ear is in heaven. This is just a type I'm trying to show you. His ear is in heaven, listening to the Father and listening to the Son. But his voice is down here on the earth. And everything he hears from up there, he's putting it in your heart and your mind and telling you about it. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to know why God gave me the Holy Ghost and why God gave you the Holy Ghost. And you know I love the part of it that makes you happy, that brings you full of joy, that puts a shout in your heart, that puts a spring in your heel. But there's something bigger and something more wonderful, and that is he is bringing Jesus from the Father's right hand and placing him down inside of me and filling me so full of Jesus that Jesus becomes everything in me everywhere I go, and everything I say and everything I do, he is telling me what Jesus is saying. Ooh, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to show you in a minute something I'd never seen before till this very week, but you got to hear that. Let me read another verse or two. He shall glorify me. Somebody, I see people sometimes get happy, and you can look at them, and they're just a show of flesh. They want you to look at them. They want you to think they're spiritual, you know? Yeah, oh yeah. There are people who, I've seen this, and we in this church have had very little to ever have to deal with it, but when we do, of course we deal with it. But I want to tell you something. This wonderful Holy Ghost came to make Jesus so real to you that you fall in love with him, and he becomes the joy of your heart. He becomes your example. He becomes the way of your life. He guides you. He teaches you. He said, when the Holy Ghost is come, he will glorify me. Would you say it with me? The Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus if I let him have his way. He'll make Jesus so real in you. Brother Chambers, I want this bread of life. Where do I find it? You find it by the Spirit feeding you. That's how you find it. You find it by getting on your face somewhere in prayer. You find it by getting in this Bible and reading it until it comes alive, until the fire of the Holy Ghost gets a hold of it. You find your place to pray, and you pray until you pray through. You pray until you move from earthly realm into the holies of holies up there in heaven. The Bible says you can pray your way into the veil, hallelujah, behind the place where he was crucified, hallelujah. So he will guide you into all truth. I love that. All things that the Father hath a mind, therefore shall I take, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You got to read that verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he, that's the Holy Ghost, shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Brother Marlon, if you're not learning more about Jesus every day, it's your fault. If you're not becoming closer to Jesus, it's because you're not letting him. Oh, it's beautiful. It's powerful. I don't want to preach too long. You know how I am. Hallelujah. I get this extra time because Sister Vet doesn't show up, and I take her time and mine too. Well, that's okay. I want you to have the word. I want this word to get a hold of you. I want it to get a hold of you, but I got to read verse 16, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me because I go to the Father. Now, what was he talking about? You shall see me. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Because I'm going to the Father. And he said, if I go to the Father, I'm going to send you back another comforter. And when that comforter comes, he's going to take everything that's mine and show it to you. Do you know why God filled you with the Holy Ghost? To make Jesus real to you. God filled you with the Holy Ghost so that Jesus would be dominant in your life. God filled you with the Holy Ghost so you could talk about Jesus until your family members fall under conviction because of the anointing and the power of Christ that's in your life. Hallelujah. You get so full of Jesus as you ought to be, and you'll bless people everywhere you go. Amen. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. But I'm going to skip some things, because I want to go to one particular verse, and I want you to get a hold of this one, and I don't want you to ever forget it. We had it Wednesday night, but I didn't really deal with this, but let's deal with it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you really got to hear this. Will you make sure you're listening? Don't want anybody to miss it. Very, very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me show you this powerful verse of scripture. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now listen to this. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. We got a church world out there that rejects the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't have nothing to do with speaking in tongues. I mean, why has speaking in tongues become of such bad repute? Why has it become such a whipping post for much of the world? I can do something on radio about speaking in tongues, and you will be amazed at some of the things that I hear from people who have been told that that's of the devil, that that's so ugly, that there's no meaning in it. I want to tell you something different. I want you to hear me. No man can speak it, can call Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you the reason God fills you with the Holy Ghost is to enable your old flesh to look beyond the carnality of self. He fills you with the Holy Ghost to get you past living in the flesh and living by the flesh, and to get you in a spiritual realm where you can literally look up and call Jesus Lord because of what has taken over the framework of your life. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you will exalt Jesus going and coming. Hallelujah. It'll be a way of life for you. You'll enjoy lifting him up. You'll enjoy magnifying him. And the more of the Holy Ghost that has right away in your life, the greater will be your glorifying of him, because no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. People who know nothing of the Holy Ghost and reject it will never know anything of his lordship and majesty. Amen. Is anybody listening to me? Oh, I'm a Pentecostal. Can you tell it? I'm Pentecostal to the bone. If there was one part of me that wasn't Pentecostal, I'd be ashamed of myself, because I want this Pentecostal life to make Jesus so real in me that men will see him and know how wonderful he is. Hallelujah. He's the bread of life. And the Holy Ghost makes that bread of life come alive in me and satisfies every fiber of my being with his life. Why does the Holy Ghost seem like sometimes it runs up and down your spine? Anybody ever have an experience where the joy of the Lord just goes all over you? Let me see your hand if you've had experiences like that. Have you had them? You know what was happening? The Holy Ghost was feeding you with the bread of life. Hallelujah. He was making you satisfied with a portion from heavenly. Hallelujah. He was giving you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You don't have to be an old sad, gloomy Christian. I am so tired of sad, gloomy Christians who can't get themselves off their pew on Sunday morning. They're just locked up in their doubts and their unbeliefs and their failures of faith. Listen to me. If you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, Jesus will become the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church. Now, it was good that we took communion this morning. It really was. Because he's not only the bread of life, he's the fruit of your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is very important. Oh, I think I'll take a second dip. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am dependent on Christ. He is my everything. Sister Doris, he's all I could want and all I could ever desire. His life is satisfying. Oh, hallelujah. His life is satisfying. What a joy it is to belong to him. Hallelujah. He's the bread of life. He is the bread of life. This was nothing this morning but something by which we remember his death, his broken body. He was crucified that you might have life. He was crucified that you might have life. He was put to death that you could then satisfy your being with the life which he gives. Hallelujah. There is nothing as wonderful as being full of Jesus. I'm here to tell you something. He wants to fill you to the overflowing. I am crucified with him. Let me have the mind of Christ, Paul said in Philippians. Let the mind of Christ be in you. How many of you would like to think like Christ thinks? Raise your hand up. Did you know the Holy Ghost is trying his best to do that for you? But you've got to let him. And you got to feed constantly. You can't just feed a little bit once in a while. You can't pray a little meeny-anny prayers once a week and get anywhere with God. You're not going to be anything but a frustrated Christian until you create and build for yourself a prayer life that takes you into the realm of his presence, that feeds on that Bible, that feeds on the sweet work of the Holy Ghost. You've got to get full of him. You've got to get full of him. Do you hear me? You've got to get full of him. And when you get full of him, you'll be satisfied. Hallelujah. You know what? You know why people become problems in the church? Because they're half-baked, not turned over. You know, the Bible talks about half-baked Christians. Never been turned over, never been browned on both sides. And just a metaphor. He's really saying you need Christ to saturate your whole life. You need to be full of him. Backside, front side, top side, bottom side. Just full of Christ. Full of his life. Full of his joy. He loves you. He cares about you. Now Jesus said, if any man come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. If any man will come unto me and drink. I love that scripture in John chapter 7. That great day of the feast. He cried out, if any man will come unto me and drink, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you don't have rivers of living water flowing out of you, would you start this morning? How many of you would like to start today and be a fountain of living water? Hallelujah. That everywhere you go, people are seeing Christ in you. I go into little hardware. I went in about this week and I went in singing. And the man who waits on me didn't even look up. He said, I hear Brother Chambers. Hallelujah. I hear Brother Chambers. Well, I like that. I like it that way. I was magnifying Jesus. I was lifting up the Son of God. Can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I can sing with praise and adoration to God because I love Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. He's all I want. I just want more of Him and more of Him and more of Him. Hallelujah. If you want more of Him, would you stand together all over this building and let's lift our hands and our hearts and let's receive more of Him. Hallelujah. Let's be full of Him. Let's be full of His life. It's up to you, but you got to open up your door. You got to open up the bucket. He said, I am the door. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Did you remember that? Did you know He said that? If you open the door, He'll come in and you can sup together. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, I want you right where you're standing to raise your hands and love on Him with all of your heart. Jesus, I'm loving on you. Jesus, I'm loving on you with everything inside of me. Jesus, I'm loving on you. I want to be full of you. I want to be full of your life. I want everything I am to be saturated. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I love Him. 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 Hallelujah. I want you to play on that organ. I want you, if you will, play that saxophone, brother. And those drums, brother. And that guitar, brother. And I want us to sing together. Do you know Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my life? You think you know it? I want us to sing together, Jesus be the Lord of all. I want Jesus to be the Lord of all. I want Jesus to be the Lord of all. Sister Judy, why don't you come and get a mic and help me with that.